This is RSBNB Update, episode 525, recorded Friday, July 10th, 2015. Raid by Raids. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. This week, just myself and Earth here to discuss a myriad of updates. Hello.
Hello.
That is Lord Earth, the Divine. Such
thank
an appropriate
you.
Title, I believe.
There's no need to deify me. I know how great I am.
Yeah, my in-game name, Shane12088. I don't have a... Well, I mean, I have the ultimate quester title.
And?
That's the best I get.
Lame.
Anyways, so this week we had something happen. Something big. Came crashing down to the world, as was largely expected to happen, since, you know, the godless won.
What Donald Trump say this week?
Well, lots of things, but I don't think this is the podcast to be discussing that, because we could do that for a good number of hours.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
I know. But maybe we can discuss that later.
Yeah, maybe we'll run some kind of special at the end of the year about the U.S. primaries.
Could do another Uncorked episode.
Yeah, you haven't had a chance to do one of those yet.
No, you only did the one, right? Or yeah. No, you did two.
Yeah, and everyone...
You did two, and I was on one of them.
Oh, you were. Right.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, and everyone else I brought on was too afraid to step
everyone
on toes.
Was in agreement.
That was boring.
It was boring.
Yeah, yeah. We gotta rectify that. Anyways, Tuska fell. We were all greeted with a cutscene that appeared this week when we all logged in. What'd you make of that?
I was very confused because I logged in, I think, to deal with someone doing something stupid. And then there was just this thing. And I was like, what? No, I just need to deal with someone doing something stupid. Go away, please.
So did you end up watching the cutscene then? Or did you skip past it?
I watched it. I didn't know what was going on.
Did you think it was overacted?
I didn't even know what was going on.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't clear that Tuska was the thing that was flying through the sky then.
I didn't know what anything was. And then you said something about Viagra at the end when I asked. And that was even more confusing.
Yeah, I guess we should clarify that.
Probably.
You asked me about what was going on, and I said it gets even more comical when Virago gets involved. Because Virago...
Oh, you're blaming this on the OS X autocorrect, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, because...
Why would it autocorrect it to Viagra?
Because it's...
Isn't it predictive typing?
No, it's actually...
What have you been doing?
It's a common word, believe it or not.
What, Viagra?
Yeah, it's in the dictionary.
Is it?
Yes, I can look it up right now.
All right, you do that. See what kind of emails and ads you're going to be getting.
Anyways, so in this cutscene, we see Virago teleport into space and deal the final blow to Tuska, and then Tuska comes crashing down. We first see the fragments start falling in Falador. Mrs. Falador continues on straight past through Drainer Village while hemorrhaging parts, drops some little rocks and whatnot on the Wizard's Tower, and finally crashes in the waters to the east of Karamja. And west of the Bedouin camp in the desert. So we have a new island there.
I thought something happened to Toriel Island.
Yeah, and then I informed you that's been gone for a good number of years.
Well, it's definitely gone now, folks.
Yeah. So you can actually go on to Tuska, and I mean, everything is dead. Tuska's not moving. It's basically just a rock. And you get there by...
So is it dead? Like...
Yes, completely dead.
That's boring.
Well, the godless, you know, succeeded. The alternate way, if the Godless did not succeed, would have been for Tuska's followers, aka the Eru and whatnot, to be populating Tuska's back, and Tuska, of course, you know, would still be providing them energy. So that would have been the alternate if the Godless had not prevailed. And
wait, so what is there now?
Well, right now it's just, you know, the four wizard people waiting for next week.
And what happens next
week? Well, there's a portal that's starting to appear on Tuska's back, and it's going to lead to the Gobi homeworld.
China?
No, not that. That's where the raids are going to take place. The Gobi...
Why did a mysterious meteorite just appear next to me? I thought Tuska died. Why is that still here?
You know, that's a good question.
I thought that was a fragment of Tuska.
Yeah.
What? I'm also underground, which makes even less sense, but okay.
So the question is, why are those appearing? Yeah, I don't know. But
there are a lot of unanswered questions here, and I don't like it.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have some more answers next week when the portal opens, because this is going to lead to the world of Mazcab, which is where the Gobi live. And that's where the new raids update will take place. So that's next week's update. But, you know, in the meantime, you just go there and swim across the water. And you can still access Wizard Chambers and his reward store, as you could during the event. Except now things will cost three times as much. And the World Event Armor is no longer available.
Three times as much?
Yeah, well, you were supposed to go and... gather your armor and any rewards you wanted while the event was taking place. So, I mean,
that doesn't seem fair.
Well,
three times as many or three times as much.
Well, I mean, maybe not, but the event's still going to be able to, or rather, you're still going to be able to take place in the event. So if you want to, you know, go safe
like forever.
Well, that's at least the way it sounds, because, you know, as it is, you can go there, but there's no way of knowing when this is going to stop. I assume it's going to be very much like Cabbage Face Punch, where you can still do the minigame.
Oh, God. Please, no.
Yeah. And, you know, in the near future, maybe not so near future, I would expect that... the rewards from this event be made it into Thaler rewards if it's going to act, you know, just like any normal minigame that gets put in. So
a question. I'm at the Bedabin camp right now, and there are,
yes,
like, two giant spike things sticking out of the ground that are purple. And then there's another giant... Oh, this probably is Tuska, then.
Yeah, that's the remnants of Tuska. I don't know how it ended up.
But for some reason the water level is the same.
Yeah.
And the camp served fine.
Yeah, and there was no...
That should have caused a tsunami.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same thing I was thinking.
Oh, good. And there's a place where I can swim water. I mentioned this to you earlier. This and the whirlpool at the barbarian place. Quite possibly the wisest things our character could ever do, ever.
Yeah, because, you know, you can't
keep
your head...
Yeah, let's just jump into a whirlpool, right?
Can't keep your head above that, and, well, unless humans have developed gills, I don't think we can breathe underwater.
No?
No. I mean, some of us look like fish, but we're definitely not. So
you keep talking about, like, a panhandle thing? What are you talking about?
If you open up the world map and look to the southwest of the Bedouin camp, you'll see, like, a little... panhandle thing just appeared.
My God. What?
Yeah. I don't know. There's nothing else on that land. And, I mean, you can go there. There's remnants of Tuska, but nothing happens. So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense from a geologic perspective. Because it crashed
into the water. Jump back
into the water
and then go investigate.
Yeah. Because you need to think, you know, when this thing crashes into the water, it's not going to, you know, bring sand up. It if anything, it should make the water level rise, like you said. So.
Yeah, like significantly, because this is a large creature.
Yeah.
Like there's still people just in the bar.
Yeah, so I'm
mad at me because I'm apparently wearing something Ceridoman.
Yeah, or any
no,
kind
I'm
of
wearing an armadill battle staff.
That's what they don't like.
Yeah, but it's armadill.
They don't like the gods.
Yeah, but they're yelling Ceridoman at me. What? There's another person in there. Okay.
Oh, okay. So the question is, I mean, where did the sandbar come from? I mean, it just appears. And I guess maybe we'll have more information next week. But if you actually go onto Tusk's back, you can start to see into that world. And it looks kind of interesting.
Spoopy.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, I don't think there's much else to say about this. We'll have more to say about what the portal does next week. And maybe something will come through. Though unlikely, since we won.
Yeah, because that's what happens.
Indeed.
It's just gone.
Alrighty. So, moving on from Tuska crashing into the planet, we have the quick lodestone teleports. So, does this make lodestones feel any better to you? Because you're one of those
people.
Can
I just use runes?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, the idea is that you take your Vizwax from the Rube Goldberg machine in the Runecrafting Guild, right?
Uh-huh.
And each time you give one of these, or use one of these Vizwaxes, you get 10 teleport charges for the lodestones. Now, each teleport, no matter where it is, takes 10, or I'm sorry, one Vizwax, or one charge. So, in essence, for every one Vizwax you give, you get 10 free teleports. And they're instant, just like any other teleport in game. They range all the way from level 5 up to 80 magic, or 90 magic, sorry.
That's still 500 coins to teleport, though. And then, let's see. Let's just look at the prices.
Yeah, we can have a look at...
That's just sort of 600 per teleport. But then, like... Oh, come on, RSWiki. Surely you have a page where it tells you how much each costs. Oh, well.
Right now...
So...
Yeah, what... Right now, one Vizwax is 58.53, so 585 per teleport.
That's double most normal rune teleports. It's not worth it.
It's not. And, I mean, the problem with this update is not the fact that it makes lodestones quick. It's the fact that there's no runes involved. And this just further devalues, you know, the teleports that are available in either spellbook, because, you know, you can just use the lodestone network now and get around for, you know, a little bit more cost. And it's like, what's the point of a standard teleport? This has even made them even more irrelevant.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I guess if you're on, you know, say Lunars or Ancients and you want to go somewhere that, you know, there is no teleport to that area, that's good. But
there is. Well, on Lunars anyway, and the only reason you'd be on Ancient Magics is if you're doing combat, right?
Yeah. I mean, I really wanted a rune sync involved with this as well. I mean, yes, Vizwax, you know, deals with a rune sync, but if we could go, you know, one step further and maybe add another rune sync to this and make law runes viable in game and at least have some form of, you know, law rune usage for these teleports, that would make lodestones not nearly as bad. I mean, if you needed the Vizwax and a law rune, I think that would be a good step, because the way teleports work, it looks exactly the same as a standard teleport, same animation, and, you know, it's just as fast. So why not have some kind of law runes involved in this?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like it.
No, neither do I. I did take, you know, one day of my Vizwax, which was like 75 that I got when I was, you know, just did it willy-nilly. And so now I have 750 teleports to use on the Lodestone network. Yeah.
Ever going to use them?
I'll probably use them for my farming runs. Because the Catherby Lodestone is useful for that.
As yeah, is that's
the Priftiness one.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't use the Crystal Seed for that one, mainly because I just find rechargeables annoying. So those would be the two that I would end up using. And, you know, I was hoping that you'd have to go to each one and, you know, give a certain amount of Law Runes for each one. So maybe 30 for Berthorpe all the, and maybe all the way up to 3,000 at the end for Priftiness to unlock them, in addition to the magic level, but nope. So, anyways, this idea was from Rune Labs, so you can take that
Yay.
For what it's worth.
Your vote's at work.
Yeah, and if I recall, this wasn't even one of the main winners.
Oh my okay god. There? Sorry, I just looked over and I saw that someone I went to elementary school with got married. Proposed to someone while I was drinking water. All right. Well, then. Well,
I guess that's the joys of the modern connected world, then.
Almost dying.
No, that wouldn't have been good. So. Alrighty. On to the patch notes next. So, Grand Exchange UI has been updated. What do you think?
I actually have not sold anything at the Grand Exchange recently, but I just finished a Slayer task a few minutes ago. So let's see how much I can sell my loot for. So, is it good? Should I be worried?
It's about on par with everything else, RS3.
Oh, this God, is... it's terrible, isn't it?
No.
It's really bad, isn't it?
No, I actually like it. I believe there are some people out there who require the standard...
Oh, really? That's really lazy. That's really lazy.
I was going to
get
to
that
part.
I like that they added a sale history thing, though.
Yeah, and it shows... many more than before, which is nice.
No, they updated it so it'd show more a few weeks back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I apparently forget that. So, you know, it is a standard RSUI, so meaning you can move it around to wherever you want on the page, assuming your interface is unlocked. So that's an important thing to note if it winds up being somewhere you don't want it. It fits in with the game now, I feel. You know, some of the things pertaining to searching and selling items could use some work because you have all these open spaces now that just basically sit there unoccupied when they're not being used. So you ask yourself, you know, should this be used for something as it is right now? Or is this going to place in the near future when I try and sell or buy an item. So ultimately, I think they could have, you know, maybe did a bit better on that.
Yeah, like they could have. What I think might have been a good idea is if, like, when you hover over something, it shows the current market price.
Right.
I don't know if that would be more cluttery. I mean, you click on it and then it does that, and you can click on other things, but I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, you're right, because as it is right now, you need to add something to the buy window to see what the price is. So that's a perfect idea right there of a little thing that could be added. Hover, get the current market price, and maybe the most recent average 30-day price, which can actually be quite useful. And it's something we do at RSBNB with our Grand Exchange portfolios. So if you're, you know, someone who uses the GE for merchanting and whatnot, and you want detailed graphs, you can check out the Grand Exchange portfolios at rsbnb.com/RuneScape Grand Exchange Portfolio.
Nice plug.
You got to admit you fed that one to me on a silver platter.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, well. So you're welcome.
Yeah, and anybody out there who has doubts, you will get used to this UI. And, you know, granted, it is Jagex, so that has been something that Jagex has, you know, never really been good at, but they're slowly but surely improving. So give them a chance, and I would like to cue up the "Oh God, it's different" sound right now, please.
Oh God, it's different.
There you go. There you go. All right. In other patch notes this week, Mr. X now offers players an option to never remove Iron Man mode.
Who's Mr. X?
He's the guy in Edgeville who sells extra lives to hardcore Iron Man characters.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He can also skull you if you want to go into the wilderness with a skull.
So, why would you want to do that?
I don't know. The question is, who even goes into the wilderness anymore? I haven't had a clue scroll in the wilderness, level 3 or level 4, in a long, long time. They really decrease the chance of getting those. Players now also need to wait 7 days to remove Iron Man mode in case a player has been hijacked. This can, of course, be bypassed by registering an authenticator to the account.
Hey, I did that.
That's good. Yes, and everybody else should do that. If you're not using Authenticator, there's no reason not to. And later this month, we'll actually have a quick little video on how to do that and get you set up in under 2 minutes flat. So there's no reason not to be running Authenticator.
Nice.
The Herald standing near the Wilderness Lodestone has been PK'd.
The what?
I guess the person who, you know, just advertises next to the Lodestone in the Wilderness, like, there's one next to all the other lodestones.
Oh, yeah.
Basically been made deceased or removed.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, you don't exactly need that in the wilderness if you're using that lodestone. Now, here is probably the most important ninja fix of the year, I think.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Of the year?
It's yeah, only so, July. Far, so far. Players can now open a Beast of Burden's inventory into a tab to allow for easier use.
Oh my god, finally! Thank you! How do I do that?
So you have your Beast of Burden now, you know, Terror Bird, War Tortoise, or Yak, or whatever you want, and you just right-click the summoning icon in your action bar and choose Follower Details. Then inside Follower Details, there's a blue button that lets you toggle between the standard familiar interface we've had for years and one that actually shows the inventory of said creature. Then you can just move this around to whatever tab you want, so you can put it next to your inventory, you can put it beside your inventory. It's really nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll have to do that right now with my billion Terror Bird pouches that I still have.
Yeah, and, right, but the so problem... Go...
Uh-oh, there's a problem?
Yeah, there is. When you get rid of the follower, you have this tab, and, well, this tab serves no purpose afterwards.
Oh, yeah, that's the annoying part about it.
So you're going to need to open it each time you get a familiar. It's not smart enough to...
Just deal with it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I can just drag it. I have a spare tab, like, right here. I can just put that right there, and then when I'm not using it... It's hidden. I don't have to deal with it because it's not there. Mm-hmm. Yay!
Now,
excellent.
There's
that.
Yeah, there's one step further with this also. You have that Beast of Burden out?
Yeah?
Players can now access a Beast of Burden's inventory directly from the bank by switching the inventory tab. So if you open up your bank, you'll see an extra tab
Thank
on the right-hand
you.
Side.
Thank you, Jagex.
I know, it's pretty nice. Eh?
How many years did this take, then?
Summoning came out in 08, January 08.
So 7 years. Thank you.
And 2 years after RS3. So remember, this wouldn't have been possible with the standard UI. Which means, of course, if you're using legacy UI today, you can't reap the benefits of this. And, well, there's a reason to use the RS3 UI.
Nice. They also,
yeah, they also did something else with the UI. If you click your little bar, the little turquoise bar with the summoning points on it, that can toggle between the NPC or the summoning familiars.
Oh my god, that's
current
great!
Summoning points and your summoning points.
I love it. Because that's the most annoying thing. Like, if you have a unicorn out and you want to use the Healy thing, but you don't want to have that stupid tab open to see if you have enough. That's great.
Yep.
I love it.
And I do not believe that these came from Rune Labs. Let me just double check that. Let's see. Ninja fixes. Where are you here? Yeah, doesn't say anything about Rune Labs, so.
Cool.
All right. And one final thing I would like to cover. Notice the difference between those two words. They're just making, changing one letter there. But players can now hover over the Voice of Saren icons in Priftinus to see their benefits.
Oh,
which, I mean, this is good. Because you used to have to go to the RuneScape website or RS Wiki, you know, to figure out what the benefits are for each of these. And it's all right here in game now. So, very nice indeed. Though, I mean, have you ever really timed your training in Priftinus to coincide when the Voice of Saren is happening with your favorite area?
I don't even know what that does, so.
Well, next time you're in Priftinus, just hover over the little icons in the top and it'll tell you.
Okay.
Yes. Anything else in the patch notes for you?
Huh?
No?
No.
Alrighty then. Moving on. The genie returns. You can get a genie now when you use prismatic stars from Treasure Hunter.
Yeah, that happened to me and it was weird because I thought like it was the Nigerian prince guy.
Oh, let's see if I can pull up your picture here of this. Oh, yeah. Nigerian Prince RuneScape Edition.
Yeah. It's like, you're the 1 millionth customer. And then someone in my clan at like the exact same time, the same thing happened to her. And I was like, this can't be real. I think Jagex has gotten hacked.
Congratulations, adventurer. You are Super Happy Wonder Lamp's millionth customer and a genie blessing complete. And get a genie blessing completely free of charge. And you can choose from three of them. The blessing of free will. Choose this option to gain bonus XP in a skill of your choice. The blessing of fate, which is basically choosing a random skill to receive bonus XP in, except you'll receive twice as much XP. Higher chance of getting it in any skill below 99. And the blessing of fortune. You'll be showered with gold coins. Which one did you choose?
I went with the money one.
How much did you get?
That would be good. Like 375k.
Nice. I wouldn't mind getting one of those, seeing as I need GP.
Why do you need GP, Shane?
Farming.
You have a problem.
Oh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're spending all of your money on plants.
Yeah, it's been like that for a good number of months now.
You need to see someone about that.
I'll talk about my progress that's been made later.
You need to talk to someone about that.
No, I want 120.
No!
All right. Also this week, RuneFest sales went on sale for the standard price of £99. You can, of course, also pay for them with bonds. That'll be available next week. We do not have pricing for the bonds as of yet. But
is it not, like, the same?
Well, I mean, prices have probably gone up a bit since last year, so I wouldn't expect them to be exactly the same.
All right.
Because of bond prices and whatnot. So, if you're going to RuneFest, now is the time. That's £99 plus the booking fee. And as I always like to say, you know...
What is a booking fee?
Well, just basically the handling fee for the website that does the transaction.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lame.
I always like to say that's a very, very heavy ticket because, you know, the pound. Well, we have dollars here. They have pounds, right?
Yeah, we use dollars because we have cents.
Actually, we don't have cents here. We got rid of our pennies a few years ago.
Wow, way to suck, Canada.
Yeah, so we use Swedish rounding now. Round to the nearest five.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Anyways, moving on. There's two competitions you can take part in. First one is designing a raid boss. So basically what you can do is if you have an idea of what you might like to see in the upcoming raids update and more bosses in the future, you have until July 21st to send your entry in. They get sent to competitions at jagex.com. And they say, think creatively about what makes your creature fearsome and tough to fight. Its defense mechanisms, its special attacks, any weapons it may yield, and any other cool features that will make it a worthy adversary for us to defeat. The winner receives 3 months of membership and a full set of Cooler Master goodies, and they'll have their creation drawn as a concept and signed by our art team.
So, like, can raid 10? Is that, like, something that we could submit?
You certainly could do that. I mean, you could design some kind of, mechanical device, I guess, that would spin. And there would be a good number of them working in parity. And
yeah, because that'd be really difficult to defeat because, like, the way it works is you kill one of the hard drives and then the other three can figure out what data got killed. So, like, you kill one of them, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
you have to kill two of them quickly, but if they bring in the hot spare, then you're boned.
Who are you going to send this in, or should I send this in?
Oh, do you actually want to do this?
Yeah, let's do it. It's a very, you know,
tongue-in-cheek,
nerdy idea.
And, I like it. All right, I'll do this.
And it could be
all
made
right, give me
into
a
something.
Link. Give me a link.
You can find the link to this competition at update.rsvmb.com in the show notes.
I hate you sometimes.
Well, you just keep feeding him to me, you know?
Why can't you feed yourself ever?
But I did send you the link in the meantime. So
I already found it!
Okay, well, that's good. Tuesday, July 21st, competitions at jagex.com. You can write or draw. So, are you going to draw?
Can I just use the diagram from Wikipedia? So should we explain to the listeners who don't understand the joke what's going
on?
Yeah,
please do.
All right, so in, storage, there's something called RAID, which stands for Redundant Array of Independent Disks. And you have different levels of doing this. One of them, it's called striped. So say you have 2 1-terabyte hard drives. To the computer, it'll just look like one hard drive. That's 2 terabytes. And then you also have one that mirrors So say you have 2 1-terabyte drives, the storage available will be 1 terabyte, but both disks are a mirror image of each other. But there are more levels, and then RAID... it's RAID 10.
0, 1, 5, and 10 are the common ones.
Yes.
Six
and the way 10,
well.
The way 10 works is you have to have at least 4 disks. So say you have 4, let's go with 2 terabyte drives. You will have, you'll have 4 of those. So you have a total capacity of 8 terabytes, but it's only 6 is available. And that spare one, if one of the drives fails, the other 3 are still able to figure out what data was on there. And you can just put another one in there if one of them fails, and then it'll fix itself. It's really cool. That's a terrible explanation also.
Well,
would you like to
that.
Fix that?
Well, no. I don't know too much about RAID. I just know 0, 1, and 5, but I think you did 10 well.
It's a storage joke.
I think RAID 10 would be a good boss to submit.
All right, I'll do that, I guess.
Yep.
If you remind me.
There's also the RuneScape Evolution t-shirt competition, so there was a t-shirt made available on the merchandise store.
Available?
Yeah. It was made available. And basically, they want to see what other kind of t-shirts can be made that's in this common theme, rather. So, yeah. There you go. 2 competitions, and the podcast host might even submit one.
Ooh.
All right, so let's move on to something a little bit more important pertaining to the future of the game, shall we?
Sure.
So this week, Jagex put out a survey about updates in 2016 and the general direction they're going to go. There's a chance that all these things will happen, and there's a chance that some of them won't. So... in this survey,
as is the nature of things.
Yeah, and in this survey, there's lots of options. So let's just start off with some of them. This is a 25-question survey. We're not going to go through each question, obviously, because that would take way too much time. But first, they start off with, you know, the basics of who are you, how old are you, how much RS do you play, what do you do in-game. It's interesting that on the question about what you describe yourself as in game, there's an option for I enjoy gaining GP more than anything else. Anyways, on to some interesting questions here that are in this survey. So obviously they start off with the PvP stuff. So how many players have you killed in the wilderness? Do you duel at the duel arena? Both
one. Oh, are we not answering?
Well, I mean, I've killed 1 or 2, maybe 3,
yeah,
as well in the wilderness. Rarely in the duel arena. Mainly only for clue scrolls this day and age, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's that. And then we can go into combat updates that are going to be potentially on the docket for 2016. So ideas that are available are team versus team raids, God Wars Dungeon 2, the skilling boss, high risk game mode, build your own PvP automatons, and a solo boss, and raids 2 more bosses. So being not a combat person, I gave everything on this list a 1, except for the God Wars dungeon and the skilling boss.
Is this the page that I sent you a screenshot of me just picking 1 for everything?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not excited.
Yeah.
So.
See, I chose the God Wars. because, you know, God Wars was one of the first real bossing encounters in RS, so I think it's time we maybe have something a bit extra on top of that. And, well, skilling. That's certainly unconventional, and I think it's widely known out there that there are some PVMers who focus entirely on their combat stats, their gear, and whatnot, that they often neglect certain skills that are putting them under level 80, which, you know, could cause problems for a skilling boss. So I'd like to see a skilling boss.
We all know what you're talking about, Shane.
I know. I know.
You're not very subtle.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I don't think our listeners would expect us to jump around this topic.
If all right. You say so.
Now let's get to the important stuff. The really important stuff. How important are quests
really important
to your RuneScape experience?
Very.
Very important indeed.
Duh.
And if 25 updates were released in a given year, how many of those should be quests?
I don't remember what I picked. I think I picked like 5, but,
I put more than 10.
Yeah, but then they'll all be shit.
I don't know.
See, that's
I
the mean, dilemma. I'd love yeah. more, but I also want them to be of high quality, and if they have to put one out every single week, then no thank you.
But think back to the era of 05, 06, and 07, where all those quests were coming out. They were about 2 a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
So, I mean, okay, so if there's 12 months a year and say so 2 updates a month, okay, so yeah, okay, about half, so you're probably about right that a good number would be 5. But
I know
last year we had like 3 quests only, and that was not good.
It wasn't. Maybe I should have highballed it and then, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
7
it would have gone up.
Would probably be better. Anyways.
I don't actually remember what I picked. So
we can actually talk about quest storylines that can be continued in 2016. So choices are Signature Heroes, Penguins.
Oh, yes.
Dragonkin.
Nah.
Elder Gods.
Nah.
Elemental Workshop.
Nope. Absolutely
Desert.
Not. Yes.
Pirates.
Please.
Gods.
Depends on the god.
Vampire.
Yes, please.
Gnomes.
Yes, please.
Majorat.
Yes, please.
So you had to choose 3. So Elder Gods
right?
was a definite yes for me. Gods was also a definite yes. So then the choice came down for me either between Dragonkin or Majorat.
And what
I went
did
with
you...
the Dragonkin.
And why did you do such a thing?
I wanted an answer after last week's quest as to what's next.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, unsurprisingly, these are the same ones that were winning in the results, because Mod Osborne did release some results pertaining to this. Highest ones were Elder Gods, Gods, Majorat, and Dragonkin.
All right.
Let's see if I can pull up the screenshot from the Twitters of the other ones. Cause,
the Twitters?
I mean, yes.
Is that like the Facebooks?
Sure. I believe so. Oh, I'm sorry. It was Mod Connor that did it. Not Osborne. But
come on, Shane.
I really wanted
together.
I really wanted to hit Elder Gods on this, or not, I'm sorry, Elemental Workshop on this checkbox.
Thank you
no
for
room.
Not.
I just love that one so much.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah. All right, aside from the 4 that I mentioned, the next highest 2 were Vampire and Desert. Least popular was Signature Heroes and Elemental Workshop.
As it should be.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess maybe someday we'll have Elemental Workshop Part 5.
That day cannot come soon enough.
All right. On a scale with 1 to 5, being 1 being the lowest, please rate the following updates to be how excited you would be to play them. I really butchered that sentence. But
you
here
did,
we go.
Yes.
Slayer Master Quest.
Eh. 3.
Vampire Quest Finale.
5.
Yep. Floor 61 of Daemonheim.
1.
Okay. God Sagas.
3.
Okay. Rite of Passage, which is the Big Bird Quest.
3.
I voted 5 on that one. Fate of the Gods 2, bringing the Majorak back to Frenisque.
4.
I voted 5 on that one as well. So.
That it?
Yeah, that's it. I pretty much voted the same as you, except I put Slayer Master and Floor 61 at 2. God Sagas 3. I think it would be interesting to go back to Frenisque with the Majorak, don't you?
Sure.
A high-level story that features Zaros and Zamorak. Sounds interesting.
Nah, I gave it a 4. I'd still like the Gnome series to get done.
Yeah, that was on the short list of ones.
The vampires to get done.
Yep.
And the pirates to get done.
But there's just so much to do, you know? It's a little time.
What?
There's so much to do in so little time in 2016. Because,
I just want all of these, like, soon. It doesn't have to be 2016. And just, like, I would like it to be released before Half-Life 3, preferably.
Right.
Or before my death, whichever comes first.
Well, we were waiting for Priftinus, you know, for a long time. So I don't think we can wait as long as that. But
yeah,
I have a feeling we won't.
I was not very impressed, but no. That's just
anyways,
me.
On to the next section of the survey. Rune Labs.
How many
Rune Labs ideas have you suggested?
0.
Same here. Top end option, more than 20. How often do you support another player's Rune Labs idea?
Only because
Rarely.
I do this podcast.
Okay. How often have you voted in a Rune Labs poll? Regularly.
Yes, because I do this podcast.
Which of the following best describes how you feel about Rune Labs updates? I would like more updates to be created by Rune Labs. I am happy with how many updates have been created by Rune Labs. I would like fewer updates to be created by Rune Labs. I do not want any updates created by Rune Labs.
I would like fewer updates created by Rune Labs.
I said, I do not want any updates created by Rune Labs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then moving on from that, we see another rating scale of how we'd prefer to play certain updates. We won't go through our choices here unless there's any you're absolutely wanting to, because we are running on time here. But graphical improvement of players.
1.
Okay. Mystery continent. So a continent with nothing known about it, and your whole point is exploring it.
3? Like, right. You can't really give a rating to something that you know literally nothing about, right?
I said 5 on that one.
Of course you did.
Yeah. Church of You.
4.
Okay. Fossil Island.
5.
All right. That's archaeology.
It's the
Museum.
Kudos thing that's been we've been waiting on for years. The
okay.
Worst builders in the history of ever.
Yeah, they must be in charge of even rebuilding Edgerill. Underwater City.
3.
Okay. Menophos.
5.
Okay. And the new game client.
Four.
Five. 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 Five.
Five. Five. Five. Five. Five. Yeah.
Well, maybe not. We'll see. But... because I was on the... What? What?
So I'm doing a Slayer task, and this guy logged in, and he's really confused because he just got a genie. And he's like, what? I'm the 1 millionth lamp guy? The guy's, like, genuinely confused, so I'm just messing with him. Like, the Nigerian prince also wants your info.
All right. How often would you like a new skill to be released in RuneScape?
Once every 2 years.
That's what I said as well. Every year, not so much. People need the ability to train it. Yeah. What's most important to you in a new skill?
How easy it is to train or how fun it is to train, whatever that option was.
How fun it is to train. All right.
There you go.
I said doing things I have never done before. But on second thought, what I did is I put in the other checkbox, I said something to the effect of ensuring that the skill is useful in game.
Ah, yes, that one's also of high importance.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's no point putting a skill in the game where levels 1 to 60 are useless once you pass them.
Yeah. 'Cause
that's the case with divination right now. It's the case with a lot of other skills.
Skills well. Useless, let's be honest.
Yeah, now it is. You're right. All right, and then we have some other updates coming in here. On a scale of 1 to 5, how would you be interested in playing these? Surface construction.
5.
5 indeed. There's actually a little story about this. Back in 2004...
In RS Classic, no. This is what...
In 2004, when RS2 had just come out, Andrew Gower, who is no longer with the company, actually put out a manifesto of stuff he did. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I almost spilled my water. Whoa.
Good job, Shane.
Yeah, he put out a manifesto and said that construction would have surface location. So that's still something we haven't got. And I think we'd be fulfilling, you know, one of... the initial design intentions of something that was hoped for with RS2 by doing this. So definitely 5 on that one. Shape-shifting skill.
Eh, 3.
Yeah, same. I mean, it could certainly open up a whole new possibility of things. Mining and smithing rework. 5.
5.
Yeah. Sailing.
5, because why not?
I said 2. I mean, come on.
I love how they're going to turn a joke into a skill, because you know that's going to happen.
Of course, if it goes to pull, it will.
Also, I'm still messing with this guy, by the way.
All right. Just don't do anything bad to him. Slayer to level 120?
4.
All right. Agility rework.
5.
Okay. I put 4.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Necromancy.
4.
And it's also worth noting that all these things here, minus the agility and Slayer mention, could also be added into game as elite skills that we talked about a few weeks back. And then we have a question where you can choose, you know, just a blanket choice of everything you'd like to play in 2016, you know, ranging from Fate of the Gods 2, Surface Construction, Mining and Smithing. You can choose 5 of them. So it's basically just, you know, a grab bag of everything the last few questions were in. Then some final questions just to talk about how you feel with RS in general. So it's very nice that they did this survey, I think. It's definitely, I feel, a better way of, you know, gauging appetite for updates rather than, you know, having player power decide everything. Because that way then, with this, Jagex gets a general sense of what the players want, but they're not necessarily bound to that if something is better, you know? So I'm happy about that. And there was also one more survey this week pertaining to Rune Labs in general that you can just fill out. Pretty much a mirror image of the Rune Labs questions that were in the previous survey. So link to both of these in the show notes. So, and I think it's also interesting to look at why these questions are being asked, don't you think?
Yeah.
And the reason they're actually being asked is because it's something Maud Osborne is doing as his new role of lead designer. Because there was a podcast about that role out this week, and he, you know, touched on basically both these surveys that 2016 is going to be a year for finishing things and building momentum such that, you know, they've added things in the past. Like you said, the museum kudos, right?
Yeah.
But it got pushed so far to the back burner that it's not like, it's like we're never going to get a chance to look at it. So that's what Maud Osborne wants to do. And I think it's good that he's in the design position with that. Also, 2016 is going to have a tighter vision than the previous years, which I think is good. So it's going to be more themed. And he wants to finish off the Sixth Age God storyline already. So that's good, I think, because we've been going on with that since 2013. So by that time, you know, 3 years is going to be enough. No reason to wait a whole decade, if you know what I mean, right?
For the love of God.
And that's rather fitting in that case. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I mentioned earlier, things with Tuska were mentioned, so you can rewind back into the podcast about that, that, you know, if Tuska would have won, Tuscan followers would have been there. And he is questioning what the future of Rune Labs is going to be. He really likes player power, but felt that some of the questions near the end of it weren't able to be as directed as they could. So that's why the number of polls in the tail end of last year went down. So I think we're in good hands with Maud Osborne. He is also a great fellow.
He is. Also, update on the guy I'm messing with. I've convinced him that, like, every time it appears, the counter resets. So it could be, like, the 2 millionth or 3 millionth person to get it. Because the counter resets when she appears. I'm a good person.
You are. It's, you know, it's a wonder you haven't been chosen for player moderator yet.
Because I love messing with people.
Yeah. All right. So the Maud Osborne podcast is on Podbean or the RuneScape YouTube channel. But of course, links can be found in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
Nice plug.
Indeed. And the final piece of RS news that we'll just mention going by is the Raids update, which is coming out next week. The behind-the-scenes video is out for that. So you can watch that, get a sneak peek at what some of the bosses are going to look like. I'll just say they involve water. And it's going to be an interesting week for us since neither of us do combat. Now, won't it?
Woo! Combat!
So fun and so useful.
Mmm.
All right, let's move on to questions, shall we?
Oh, boy.
Yes. I'll let you read the first one.
Oh, come on. This is for you. This is literal. This has Shane written all over it.
All right. This question is from Trekkie. Space, the final frontier. These are the adventurers of the people of Gilenor. Our continuing mission to seek out new adventures and new lands, to boldly wonder why we can teleport to a whole new planet in the future, but still cannot go sailing to the eastern lands. Surely, if we can teleport to another planet, why can't we go sailing and visit the east? We have a samurai in Ghostville. Why can't we get to his homeland?
By Ghostville, he means Port Phasmides, by the way.
Yes.
In case y'all were wondering.
Sailing?
Well, because it hasn't been developed yet. So we could go there, but it'd be like a blank slate.
Yeah, and I, you know, I was thinking what they could do with this is they could go with sailing as the skill, right? That we just talked
You're
about.
You're advocating sailing.
Absolutely not. I'm just saying they could. I don't like sailing, but it's an option. And in order to
you
unlock
get seasick,
sailing,
Shane?
Only once.
Only once? How did that go for you?
I was able to use my mental discipline and go through it.
Uh-huh.
Brad, unfortunately, was not so lucky and got the worst of it.
Aw, poor Brad.
But anyways, sailing, you would need fishing, construction, and player-owned ports completed to unlock the skill, and you would access the Eastern Lands.
Yep.
That's my theory on the Eastern Lands and sailing. Now, I said I'd vote for sailing as a two, mainly because it was a joke, and I mean... I don't know. Maybe it's just better to do this through ports. What do you think?
I don't know, man. It's a new continent, so it could be.
Yeah, they could.
I don't
also
know.
Tie this
I'd rather
in.
Them. I would rather them focus on quests, but you know.
Me too. Me too. Definitely.
That's me.
And I mean, we have the perfect infrastructure in place now to do quest coverage. If you guys haven't seen from last week.
Yep.
So, we like quests, but, I mean, the mystery continent, sailing, and this all seems like it could intertwine so nicely together. I mean, imagine it being a world that's so dangerous that, I mean, there's death lurking from every corner, and based on your skills, you can avoid that. So, I don't know, but then I go back to it, and maybe ports is the best way to go. Would you go with ports or sailing to unlock the Eastern Lands?
Do I get to go there in both?
You get to send your people there in ports. You don't get to go there.
I want to go there.
So you need to do sailing then.
Yep. Come sail away. Come sail away. Right,
remember
Shane?
In the...
Sticks?
I don't know what that's from.
Sticks is... Oh my.
Do you remember in the Player Own Ports video, there was a
yes.
line about thinking it's sailing, but it's not that easy to do mm-hmm. sailing.
They're so. Also talking about the barmaid's tits, but you know, because G-rated, you can't say that.
Yeah, and they fired that loud thing to censor the word at the time.
No, yeah. One of the people just came in and went, hair! Because they're saying, and she has nice... And the rhyming one would have been tits, but then I think it was Osborne just leaned in and went, hair.
We talk about that video a lot. It's so
it's
great.
Great.
Isn't it?
It is fantastic.
Oh, that has to be the best part of the ports update.
Oh my god, that's one of the best updates Jagex has ever done.
Next question.
Yep. This question is from Thieves. Jagex hands you a Death Touch dart to use on any NPC in-game. Who do you use it on, and why? If you could create your own elf clan, what skills or ideals would you want them to represent? Thanks, fellas. Love, Thieves. Alright, so... If you could kill... I'm assuming he's not talking like just a... Just a boss monster or something. I'm assuming he's talking about an NPC. Who would you kill?
I thought of using it as a boss monster. I don't know. There's no really annoying NPCs, are there?
Not as many as that one in Fallout last night I was showing you. I don't know, man. This is really annoying.
I I would not use it on the wise old man.
Even to get his hat?
Well, maybe. Oh. Signature heroes are useless.
Oh, I'd use it on the raptor because he's an asshole.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Okay. I would use it on one of the signature heroes. You use yours on the raptor, and who's left?
Did the leggy woman die? She died, right?
Yeah, Zenya. Zenya
also died. No! Ariane. Did Ariane die?
No, she's still alive. What's wrong with her?
Well, no, you're asking who was left.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll use it on Martin, and I'll become the master farmer, and I can have the untripped farming KPS. There you go. That's a good one.
All right. If you could add your own elf clan, what skills or ideals would you want them to represent, Shane?
Well, I wouldn't add one based on skills, seeing as my skills are already represented in Cruis and Melior, I believe, for Herblore. So I would have to say go with ideals. And the ideals would
have to be... conservative party of priftiness?
No, I wasn't quite going that way, but... I was going to go in ideals of, you know, honor, loyalty, and in general, well, fiscal restraint, so we're not spending too much.
So the conservative party of thriftiness.
No, not necessarily. I just think fiscal restraint is even a good thing. I mean, for... cities and towns and whatnot in RuneScape, and of
they're
course
they're not hurting for money.
Yeah, all the bond tax, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Ugh.
Well.
Ugh.
What about yours?
one that focuses on adventuring.
All right.
Yeah. So what would you name yours?
Oh, I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I always think anything that deals with the Alliance is a good name.
The Rebel Alliance?
No. We were going to name our World of Tanks clan that we're in that we just do, you know... just have it for the benefits, the Canadian Alliance, because it's currently
Mike, myself, and World of Tanks.
Mike, myself, and King Kala. So it's the Canadian Alliance. But unknown what I would name it. What would you name yours?
Clan Earth, duh.
All right.
or Clan Quest.
Come to think of it. There you go, and then you could just, you know, usurp Uncle Sirion and take over.
He is gone for another 2 weeks.
Alrighty, thank you for the question, Thieves and Trekkie. So, if you want to send us a question, you can do that by emailing them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can phone them in to the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. And if you want to do a text question without voice, you can also send text messages to that number as well.
Nice plug.
Yeah, we haven't got any questions via text message. I would like us to have our first text message question next week.
Come on, guys. You can do it.
Yes. Make it so.
Everyone here has sent at least one text message before in their life, and I'm not. Everyone listening has done that.
Yes, you can probably.
Guys.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure they've sent a text message before, and they're like...
Okay. So, moving on to tech news. We talked about the Reddit situation last week, and as of this afternoon, Ellen Pao is no longer the CEO of Reddit.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, and I mean... the question of whether or not she stepped down being a good thing, though, I'm not sure about the answer to that one. Because you got to remember the roots of this community. The roots of this community came out of a rebellion moving out of Dig. So if you give the community the pleasure of seeing the CEO step down after their 200,000 petition, or 200,000 user-signed petition, question of what happens in the future lurks in my head. But I will say the good thing that comes from this is that one of the initial founders of Reddit is stepping in as CEO, Steve Huffman.
You think this is good?
I think that's good. Anytime a founder of a, you know, a business or a service can be a CEO, it's a good thing.
All right.
Okay. Also, it was a mutual decision, and this is kind of, you know, says that she wasn't forced out, and it was just something that she thought was best, and the board thought was best at the same time. Which, I mean, after you...
So she was asked politely to pack up her bags and leave.
Maybe. But remember, she was the first CEO of the company that even had a business plan for making it profitable.
Whatever, man.
So, that should have had some positives in there. And, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Because I honestly don't think they can continue down this path of dodging the profitability question. And, you know, dodging the question of the shady areas of the website. That needs to be dealt with. And she was trying to do it. And, well,
people
she got nailed
like
for
that.
It. Yeah.
Well.
All right. Well. Next piece of tech news. IBM has unveiled the world's first 7-nanometer processor. Now.
All right, Shane. So, why should I care?
Okay. So, the processors that sit in our computers are manufactured at what are now nanometer scales. And that is really, really small.
Can you give a comparison to something that we might know?
Well, let's just...
A red blood cell.
Well, okay. Let me just tell you that 1 nanometer in centimeters is 10 to the negative 7. So it's 7 orders of magnitude smaller than a centimeter, if that puts it in perspective. Now, like you said, size of a red blood cell, I'm not sure. Let me just look that up quickly. Size of a red blood cell, 6 to 8 micrometers.
Oh, wow. So the nanometer is often used to express dimensions on an atomic scale. The diameter of a helium atom, for example, is about 0.1 nanometers. What?
There you go. Yep.
How are they getting stuff that small?
And that's the thing that makes this so amazing, is because once you go below 10 nanometers, you start having all kinds of odd things happening. You know, issues with the quantum world, because quantum world is physics of things that are really, really tiny, whereas we live in the macro world, the Newtonian world. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is getting a laser that can fire fine enough to etch these chips out of the silicon. And problem number three is, how do you get these small transistors to hold electron charges? And, well, they did that. Solve the laser issues, they basically used extreme ultraviolet lithography is what they call it. So
extreme
basically,
ultraviolet lithography.
Yeah, so basically ultraviolet lasers that fire at very precise wavelengths to do this. And in order to solve the issue of electron seepage from the transistors, they added some germanium to the silicon. Because standard processors are just pure silicon. Whereas when you throw a bit of germanium in it, it basically fosters the flow of the electron charge a bit easier. Now, we won't see this for probably, I want to say, 3 or 4 years in our desktop chips, mainly because we're just breaking into the 11 nanometer area in terms of Intel, and Intel needs to figure this out for themselves as to how to break this barrier and how then to produce it at a cost-effective
So measure. When is Intel going to buy IBM?
They probably won't because, I mean, Intel is smart enough that they can reinvent their own processes to work around this.
But, so can they just buy the technology from IBM?
Well, no. They can, you know, read the research papers about it because it's just science and you can't patent science, right? So,
fair enough. But you can make money off of anything.
Exactly. So that's where the whole thing is going to come into play. But it's really interesting because, you know, not even 5 years ago, people were saying that, oh, we're not going to get past 10 nanometers. We're going to need to go to quantum computing in order to make that happen. Mainly because of, well, the quantum issues that appear at such a low scale. It's very interesting to see, but main point of the story is that it's happened and it carves out a path a little bit further for the standard microprocessor as we know it.
Ha! Carves. Get it?
Yes, even though I totally did not intend that.
I know you didn't.
All right. Final piece of tech news. Google says that it catches 99.9% of spam in Gmail.
But how can they prove that? If it's... Wait, so is this just the stuff that goes to my spam box? Or do they, like, get rid of some of the stuff that's, like, really bad spam?
It basically means that 99.9% of things that come through that are marked as spam are actually ending up in the spam box.
Okay, so they don't get rid of anything. No. So I guess they could prove this.
Yeah, and the false positive rate has fallen to something really, really low, like 0.05%.
Hey, you're on the top 0.05%, Shane. Of false positives.
Yeah, we're working on that, but
for those who don't know, RSBNB moved servers, and now some of the emails that are sent out are going to the spam folder because, what was it you said?
We're missing server some hadn't key build... that builds trust with the mail servers or whatever. I'm not entirely sure how it works.
Okay.
But anyways, back so far as 2012, Microsoft said that they were moving 3%. So that's quite a substantial gain. 97% versus 99.9%.
Hmm.
Though, do you ever see spam come through?
Occasionally. But usually once I mark the first one as spam, it all goes to spam after that.
Yep, same here.
So, once every few months, I'd say. How big is your spam folder?
Right now, that's really odd. It's only got 310 messages in it.
Only?
Yeah.
Only 310?
Yeah, it was up.
Wow,
at,
I get like, less than like 10 per month.
It was up at 2,500 2 months ago.
What?
Seriously?
Why?
I don't know.
my university email gets more spam than that. Or not more spam than that. Gets less spam than that.
Yeah, but
wow, I think all of the spam I get for all of my email accounts is less than what you get in probably a day in a month for me.
I had 4 on July 6th, 1 today, 1 on the 1st.
Doesn't it clear it every 30 days? How do you have 2,500?
Yeah, that was 3 months ago that I had 2,500.
Whatever.
Yep. All right. There's your tech news for today. So if you're looking for, you know, a good mail provider and you haven't moved to Gmail, it works.
Hey, you should move to Gmail.
I'm on Gmail.
Good on ya.
Indeed. All right. You know what time it is?
Paul?
No, actually.
Oh,
skill
thank
of the
God.
Month.
Oh, thank God.
So.
You scared me.
Yeah,
I thought we're gonna have to listen to Paul. Skill of the month. All right.
Magic.
So first, yeah, it's magic. First, everyone's favorite perennial. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah. He's perennial by now.
I don't know about that. Let's see.
Perennial is often
lasting
used in
for
describing plants.
Perpetual, everlasting. All right, I did use that. Everyone's favorite perennial candidate, Tim, is in first with 3.4 million experience gained. And Flash is in second with 1.6 million experience gained. Metal Maniac 9 is in third with 444,000 experience gained. Or he's in third, excuse me, and I am in fourth with 275,000 experience gained. So, woo!
I thought you were going to win this one for us.
Why'd you think that?
I thought you wanted to get 99 magic and win.
I'm like 800K away from that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't need to get that much.
All right. Well, I guess Tim might be taking the throne back this month, but maybe Flash will give him a good run for the money in the second half of the month. We shall wait and see about that.
Let's go. Make it interesting.
Yeah, or Tim could stop and someone could creep up behind him. You never know.
Are you going to murder him?
No, of course not.
No!
I would never do such a thing.
I would never do such a thing. No!
All right, so that's skill of the month. We got an event coming on Saturday the 18th, Hide and Seek, another one this time in the afternoon. This will be taking place at 2 p.m. RSBNB time, which is 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, or 8 p.m. UTC, for those of you guys who work off international time codes. We'll meet in our friends' chat, Bits Bytes. And this will be run jointly with Clan Quest, so if you did not make our last hide-and-seek event, definitely come to this one and find some players hiding around RuneScape, and you will be given a prize that works for your skills.
What's the prize?
I haven't decided yet. But it'll be tailored to the individual.
Oh, so like it could be different. For different people.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
and
so Shane is going to go shopping for a gift just for you.
Yep, and basically it's going to go based on your skills. So if you're someone who's interested in farming, who has a high farming level, well, you might get some seeds. Or if you're a high-level smith, you might get some bars or ore. Or if you're a fire maker, well, you're getting logs. So that kind of thing.
But surely you could request something, request a certain skill, because say you have 99 fire making, you're not going to want logs, you're never going to want to look at a log again, right?
That's true. Very true, I guess. So there will be some
choices.
So
you will be able to request.
I'll probably fit the categories, you know, into support, resource gathering, artisan, that kind of thing, and have, you know, choices available.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Like, you could do those Dungeoneering Potion skill difference things, right? Like, there's an Artisan's
like
Potion.
That.
Yeah, that's what you'll do. Good That's exactly
what I was thinking.
All right. So, achievements of the week.
Yeah, we have two of them this week. First up is Thieves with 99 construction on the 4th. Good job.
Woo!
And I'll do the next one then. Subsistence, 99 agility on July 4th. Congratulations to you. That's
Happy
a hard
America
one.
Day.
Yeah, he obviously celebrated by being incredibly agile.
Woo!
All right. So, pick of the week.
All right. So, my pick is Ghostery, which is It is an extension for Google Chrome, and not only does it block ads, it also blocks like trackers and such, and it also is very lightweight. I know I had an issue with battery life in Chrome, because Chrome was just sucks up battery life, and I figured out that it was because of Adblock Plus, so I got rid of that and got Ghostery, and my battery life significantly increased after doing that. So it's very lightweight, very quick, blocks stuff, excellent.
That's probably because it kills the ads before they even get loaded, so it's a lot simpler to remove, seeing as you're only removing one element off the page then.
I guess.
Now, this
I
is probably something.
I should put the link into their website, not just the Chrome extension.
This is like NoScript, right? Where you need to train it and add exceptions. Right?
No. Like, it just automatically does it. There's a little wizard when you start up. And, like, I just checked block all trackers. And you can whitelist certain sites. Like, I've whitelisted RSBNB.
Something everyone should do in their ad blockers, yes.
Mm-hmm. And things like that. But, no, I just have it set to block, like, all trackers and such by default. And then if I have any issues, I can just disable it. Like, I had to do that when I was watching the Stanley Cup on the NBC Sports website.
Oh, okay.
So, had to add that in.
And it's something that, you know, you just enter. You go site by site, and if you need to add it, you do. And, of course, sites where you want to contribute.
If you need to turn it off for certain sites, you mean.
Yes, correct. Yep.
So.
All right. Yeah, I installed it once upon a time, but it basically made some websites not work, so I got rid of it.
Really? Which ones didn't work for you?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay. Just undermining my pick of the week. All right.
No,
how long ago was this?
Like 2.5 months.
2.5 months?
Yeah.
Shame. You're throwing my pick under the bus.
No,
thanks,
sure it's
man.
A good pick. I'm sure it's a good pick of the week. I'm sure I just, you know, didn't have patience for it. Because I'm one of those types that doesn't have patience if an application or extension doesn't work on the first run. It gets uninstalled.
Well, you clearly did it wrong.
Perhaps.
All right.
All right. Ghostery.com. Definitely something you should look at if you're, you know, interested in what your browser's sending out about you. And one could even argue that you need something like this even in Firefox if you're not using Google services. Because you go to a website, you're sending everything out about your browser. So keep this in mind and look at this extension. Yeah, that's a better question.
Alrighty. All right. What's up next, Shane?
Well, before we talk about what we've been doing, I'd like to just mention the Support RSBNB page on our website.
Nice plug.
Well, yeah. I mean, we talk about ads and whatnot. Those help, too. But if you want to help and make a contribution in a different way than just whitelisting our website on your ad blocker, you can head over to rsbnb.com/support and make a small donation to us. We use the PayPal service. The money we receive from that goes to from funding everything from server upgrades to little expenditures that might crop up every now and then that just happen with running a website. And when you donate, you get a rank in our friends chat, you get a rank on the forums, and of course you also get a mention on our support page. Minimum donation is $5, mainly because of the PayPal fee. So that's rsbnb.com/support.
You give anything less than that and all of the fees that PayPal takes away, you get, what, like a cent or something, right?
Yeah, nothing makes useful. Nothing makes it not worthwhile. So, rsbnb.com/support.
Shane, what have you been doing this week?
Well, this week I did hit 79 million farming XP.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's coming, slowly but surely. The big milestone's going to be 80 million XP, which should be sometime in the next week.
Why is that the big milestone?
Well, that means that 120 is only 24 million XP away.
Only.
Yeah.
Only 24 million.
I hope. Barring anything bad happening. But.
Uh-huh. Numbers change? Like,
yeah, negative XP on the high scores.
Could happen.
I could get negative XP.
Well, Shane, don't want that.
No. But in the last week, I've got 956,000 farming XP.
Oh, boy.
No. But aside from that, just money making. I really should go back to ports, though. I haven't gone back to ports since I got the gear to make my katanas. I'm just missing 92 smithing on that, which I have been working on a bit as well at the Citadel.
Can you not boost that?
XP. Nope, it's not boostable.
Gross.
Well, no, it's a good thing because it just means that it's a true achievement when you get those weapons and armors from ports.
I guess so.
Yeah. So, how about you?
Just been working this week. My boss was on vacation, and naturally some things popped up that needed to be taken care of immediately. No one told us that there's going to be a program this weekend that needed a projector and stuff. So that was fun.
I get the feeling it wasn't.
That was fine.
Actually,
one of the situations I had to deal with, the lady was so stressed out, she started crying like tears of thankfulness.
it's always nice to be able to have an impact like that, right?
Yeah, it's one of those moments that reassures me about being an IT guy. It's not all hating myself and decisions I make.
Good. Also, you got 221,000 magic XP this week.
Woo!
And 79,000 runecrafting, or no, Slayer XP. Sorry.
Yep.
Good. Creeper. And you gained 1138 Slayer ranks and 878 magic ranks. Just on the high scores right now.
Woo!
Anyways, anything else you'd like to mention before we go?
Not really.
All right.
Support the Save the Earth Fund.
Before we know it, we'll have a RuneScape version of Greenpeace going.
We should start that.
No. Anyways, thank you for listening, everyone, and we did put the quest walkthrough or playthrough up from last week, so that can be found at youtube.com/rsbnbstaff.
Oh, good. So and does that have my commentary on it, too?
Yes, it does.
Excellent.
Yep. So if you get stuck or you want to see it from Earth's perspective here, you can find that on youtube.com/rsbnbstaff. We'll see you next week, everyone. Thank you for sharing your time with us. This has been an RSBNB Update.
Bye, friends.